Our message this morning is titled, Four Areas of Compassion. And our text is from Luke chapter 6, verses 36 to 42. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father in heaven also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but not perceive the plank that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Amen. In this text, there are four areas of compassion that Christ points out very strongly. But first, how do we treat those who do not know Christ? Are those who hurt us? How do we treat those who are our enemies? We must love them, do good to them, and pray for them. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, it says this, Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. And in 1 Peter 4, 8, it says, We're to love fervently, for love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers our sins, and it covers the sins of others. So now, how do we show love? How can we show love? We show it with the Holy Spirit's help. As Romans chapter 5, verse 5 tells us, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, we cannot do it on our own. Our flesh will get in the way. But here it says, the love of God is poured out into our hearts. God's love is overflowing in our hearts when we know and believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. It is the Holy Spirit in us that helps us to be loving. We cannot love when there's things going on around us that are so bad. Not on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the love of God. It is an attitude of a changed heart that expresses itself positively. We are to be positive when others are negative, and generous when others are selfish. We must treat others the way we want to be treated. In Luke chapter 6, verse 31, it tells us, Just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. If we want to be loved, we need to love others. We're to be more like Christ, as Christ tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. We want others to love us, so we need to love them. In Luke 6:35 it says, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, and hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High." These are the hardest things for us to do because it's against our flesh. It's against our nature. It's against the sinful nature that we have. When we say it's against our flesh, it's not talking about the skin and bones we have. It's talking about our inner nature of sinful, our inner sinful nature. We need the Holy Spirit and the love of God to act the way that God wants us to act. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" As Christians, we need to be more like Christ. We need to be obeying God and following Him. We will see that in verses 37, 38, that we are reminded that we reap what we sow, and we reap in the amount that we sow also. Our text begins by instructing us in four areas of compassion. We begin with a command in verse 36. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. That is a command given to us. Another word for mercy here is compassion. We are to have compassion as our Heavenly Father has compassion on us. God, who is rich in mercy, rich in compassion, has provided salvation for everyone. His salvation comes first through faith in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. We escape the wrath of God, and we have a home in heaven reserved for us. Through faith in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. Not just in the death of Christ, but also in the resurrection. Because He lives, we too shall live. Through faith, we have escaped God's wrath. We have a home in heaven reserved for us. When we believe in God, God's only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by faith, God has mercy or compassion on us. Only those who accept Jesus are forgiven and blessed. God's mercies, compassion, are the basis for which believers are to present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, which it tells us that in Romans 12:1. Because of God's great compassion for us, we are to present our bodies to Him, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. As believers, we are to feel and demonstrate compassion for each other. We are to have compassion for others just as God has compassion for us. Verse 37 lists three commands and three promises of God. It's so powerful when we look at Scripture that way. Verse 37 says, "And do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." There we have it. First, we are to be compassionate and not judge others. We are commanded that judgment is forbidden. Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the one who is to do the judging, not us. And isn't that good? How can we, who we are, judge others? Let's give it to Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He is the one who is to do the judging, not us. Verse 37 says, we have a commandment and a promise. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. In the book of King James, chapter 2, verse 1 in Romans, it says, "Therefore you are without excuse, every man of you, who passes judgment. For that you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice such things." Right plainly there, it says we are not to judge. Judgment of others is forbidden, it says. Secondly, we are not to condemn. Verse 37 says, do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Isn't that something? It gives us a command not what to do, and then it says it gives us a promise of what will happen as a result. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. We have a promise, a command, and a promise. Now in Romans 8:1 it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We are not under condemnation when we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When we believe in the Son and in the Father, we have passed from death to life, as it tells us that in John chapter 5, verse 24. We have passed from death into life by believing in the Father and in the Son. We are no longer under condemnation. We can praise God for that. Because what will happen, there will be many times when we do things that we should not do. But we are still not under condemnation because we believe in the Son and in the Father. In Luke chapter 6, verse 37, it says, pardon and you will be pardoned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. God has forgiven us for our sins and given us life because of our faith in Christ and in Him. We are to forgive others as God has forgiven us. How often should we forgive? In Luke chapter 17, verse 4, it says, if he sins against you seven times, saying, I repent, forgive him. But I like Matthew better. In the book of Matthew, it says we're to forgive 70 times seven. 70 times 7 is 490 times. But the number's not really significant, because if somebody was to forgive you and says, forgive me, well, that's one, two, and keep going. But what it means is unlimited. We are to have a heart of forgiveness towards others. We are. We are to be forgiving as Christ and our Father is with us. Our forgiveness should be unlimited. We are to have a heart of compassion for others as God has for us. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's our example of how we are to forgive. We're to have kindness and have a tender heart to those who do wrong to us, forgiving them as God has forgiven us. We're to be compassionate with others, not judging, not condemning, and forgiving. We can't do that on our own. No one can. It takes the Holy Spirit in us. It takes the love of God overflowing in our hearts to do that. The fourth area in our text that we are to be compassionate in is in our giving. In verse 38, it says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give to you. For with the same measure that you give, it shall be measured to you in return. This verse is saying that we should be good givers. And it's also saying that we cannot outgive God. It is so important for us to realize how blessed we are. I think one of the nicest things that we got at home is on our bed. Myrna's got pillows there. I'm sure a lot of you women have got pillows on your bed too, right? Well, one of the pillows we got, it says blessed. So I'm almost, every night I'm taking those pillows off first. But every night I'm taking this pillow off and it says blessed. What a reminder for us to know that we are blessed. Such a simple reminder. But God has blessed us in so many ways. It's immeasurable. Yes, We are to be good givers. Proverbs 28, verse 27 says this: He who gives to the poor will never want. What a powerful verse. When we give of ourselves or our possessions in the name of Christ our Lord, we're not giving, but we're sowing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 goes on and says, "He who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." God wants us to be generous givers of what he has given to us. We are blessed. And I want each one of you today, sometimes as you sit by yourself or with someone else you're talking with, say, how blessed am I? Look at how blessed you are. Realize the many blessings that God has given you. Take time to do that today. And probably each and every day we should do that. Not probably, but we should. When we pray, one of the things it says in Philippians 4, 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God." But what does that verse say when you pray? With thanksgiving, before making your requests made known to him. We're to be thankful for all the things. We're to bring thankfulness to him. Acknowledge all the many gifts and blessings he gives us. And after you do that, then you bring a request to God. List your blessings. Be thankful. We are to be compassionate toward others by not judging or condemning, but forgiving and in our giving. Those are commands and promises in this text. When we give much, much will be given to us. This is the law of God. God will give us spiritually so much more. As it says in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." When we are in Christ, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We may not always act like it, because we fall short because of our flesh. But we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now Jesus gives us a parable. Oh, well, I got to hurry up. He gives us a parable about spiritual blindness and the importance of keeping his word. In verse 39, he says, "A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a ditch or into a pit?" And then verse 40 says, "A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he's been fully trained, will be like his teacher." A blind man here is referring to a false teacher. A false teacher will only lead others astray. Here, Christ our Lord is speaking of the Pharisees. The Pharisees, the leaders of the church during his time, who were leading people astray. But now verse 40 is speaking about a pupil and a disciple. A disciple is to learn from his teacher so he can be a teacher. Are you a disciple? Are you spending time in the Word of God so God can train you and let you know what to do? Christ is our standard of excellence. What, isn't that powerful? He is our standard. Not somebody down the street, not somebody at the pulpit. Christ is the standard. We study his word and practice what he tells us so we can be like him. The Holy Spirit is helping us to be like Christ. When Christ tells us in verse 36, 37, and 38 to be compassionate, not judging, not condemning, but forgiving, and to be givers, then we are to obey him and follow him. Verse 40 says, "We will be well trained and we will be like him." We shall be like him is a promise of God. The more we are in his word, the more we will be like him, because we will know what he does and what he wants us to do. Jesus continues teaching the parable in verses 41 and 42. "Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that's in your own eye, you hypocrite? First take out the log out of your own eye, that you will see clearly to take out the speck that's in your brother's eye. When we do not listen to God and obey Him, we are spiritually blind. When we are not in the Word of God, we are unable to see the logs that are in our own eye. We are not able to see our own sin. We notice the sin of others, but are unable to see our own sin. We need to examine ourselves with the Word of God and be honest with ourselves and admit that we have sin in our own lives. The other day, what day was it? Friday. I was at the clinic. I had been at the clinic on Tuesday. I gave blood and went through this long section of who I am. And I told him and answered all of these questions. Then I went back on Wednesday and I had to have an infusion. And they asked who I was, and I went through all this long section of who I was. I went Friday, and I sat down, and this person was asking me all of these questions who I was. I was answering your questions, going by my address. And she says, now, I need a photo ID of you to see that hasn't changed. And I lost my patience. And I says, I haven't changed. Look at the picture. And she says, well, I need a new one. We all sin and fall short. I didn't have the patience I should have had. And I guess I should have just gave her my picture. And I says, you know, if I don't give you my picture, I can't have this done. And she says, oh, yeah, you can have it done. And so we went on. But see how we can fall short of the glory of God in such an easy and quick way? I fell short. I should have just been submissive and gave her my picture again, even though I just did that a month and a half ago. So my picture was there. But we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit and the love of God to help us. Are you in God's Word? Is He leading your thoughts and your actions? I'm in God's Word, but I got out of it. We need to let Him lead us. We need to have the patience that He wants us to have. This section of Scripture is a warning against blindness, pride. For nothing blinds a person like pride. No matter what we are asked, we should do. As long as it's still within God's, it's not against law or something. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What passion, what love that God has for us. In that while we were still sinners, we need to realize and not forget, that we are sinners saved by the grace of God. Each and every one of us that knows Jesus Christ is a sinner saved by the grace of God. And we can praise and thank God for that. If God can have compassion for us, we need to have compassion for others. We should not judge. We should not condemn. But be forgiving and have a heart of giving. Jesus promises us that as we obey Him and follow Him, we will come to be like Him. In 1 John 3:7 it says, little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous indeed, just as He is. We have the righteousness of Christ in us. Our righteous acts prove who we are. We need to be more like Christ in all that we do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, almighty God, we just praise You and thank You for this word You've given to us. How we fall short, but at the same time, Father, we know that You love us regardless of what we do. You love us because of our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that love that you have for us, that is everlasting and that never fails. No matter what we do, we thank you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.